This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for tuning in today. It has been more than 2 weeks since a Cudahy man entered the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin in Oak Creek and shot and killed six congregants who had gathered for Sunday services. Wade Michael Page also injured four people before killing himself. Since then, letters and gestures of sympathy have come from around the world toward the Sikh Temple, and people of many faiths and walks of life have struggled to find a way of explaining the tragedy. Jean Bishop found a lesson in her gesture of sympathy itself. Bishop is a public defender in Cook County, Illinois, and originally found herself in Oak Creek by happenstance. She and her sons reached out to the Sikh community, and she shared her story first in a column at the website Huffington Post and today with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Why did you feel compelled to visit the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin in the wake of the shootings there?
When my sons and I were driving up to summer camp in Wisconsin, we literally drove by Oak Creek and saw the sign as we were listening to these horrors unfold on the radio. And we knew that we'd be driving back by that same town in a week's time on our way back to Chicago. And we knew we couldn't just drive by, that we had to stop and tell those people that we stood with them and that we shared their grief and that we supported them.
You say you knew you couldn't do this. What is it about you, about your sons, that allows you or compels you in a way to have to do this?
In 1990, my younger sister Nancy, who was 25 years old and 3 months pregnant, and her husband, Richard, were shot to death by an intruder in their own home. He was brutally murdered, execution style, an equally senseless killing. And my children grew up knowing that they have an aunt and an uncle and a baby cousin who are in heaven that they should have here on earth. And we know each time one of these shootings happen, the grief of the families and how important it is to reach out to them and tell them that their loved ones will be remembered.
Was there something, a benefit to both the Sikh community you sought to comfort and also, and not in a selfish way, but a benefit to yourself in being able to do this?
Well, let me start with us. We were overwhelmed by the welcome that we received. From the moment that we pulled up in the parking lot to the moment we left, we were literally surrounded by people who were kind and open-hearted and generous, who offered us food and drink and spoke with us and thanked us for coming and allowed us to come in and sit and pray at their vigil that they were holding. They were the most gracious and loving people, and we learned so much from them about hospitality and faith and community and service. It was an indelible lesson for my boys, and I think that they came away wanting to know more about the Sikh community and wanting to be more like them. As for a benefit to them, I hope that they benefited by knowing that people all over the world will remember their loved ones and will remember the courage and selflessness and grace that they have shown in the wake of this horror.
You mentioned how you came to your own role in the discussion about gun violence, the really tragic story about your sister. Is it important for you to not make a distinction in lives lost to gun violence? Is it all one senseless act when someone kills another? Or is there a distinction when you add something like the notion of a hate crime?
It is all one senseless act. I mean, one of the things that's come out of this discussion is there was for a while people saying, well, people, they were being mistaken for Muslims and, you know, as if it were okay to shoot a Muslim. It's not okay to shoot anyone, not a pregnant woman and not a woman who is a mother of two children who is worshiping in her temple on Sunday morning as one of the victims was.
Do you think, are we too quick to put a tragedy like this into a particular box? I mean, as you say, the discussion often in the wake of something like this shifts and gets put into a narrative about hate crimes or access to guns or mental health. Do we lose something by our need to define something like this in absolute terms?
Yes, I think you're right. I think that, you know, one of the things that has been a struggle for the people in the Aurora, Colorado shooting is coming up with that kind of box to put it in. Look, the point is that we have too many guns in this country. We have too much easy access to guns. We have weaponry that fires too many bullets at once that are designed for mass shootings. But it's larger than that, and it encompasses so much more than that. And I think that the Sikhs have it right in that they are responding to this not by, you know, pigeonholing or, you know, putting it in that box. They're responding by opening up their community of faith to the world and saying that this is who we are. You know, come and get to know us. Come see what we're doing here. Come play on our playground that we're building.
Well, and you write in your column about how you reconcile your experience at the Sikh temple with your thoughts about God. Is there a necessary spiritual lesson in this to you?
It is for me, because so much of that moment that we drove by and knew that we had to stop at the temple was the Holy Spirit, was this Spirit of God that is sometimes called the Comforter, the Holy Comforter. And it immediately, you know, spoke to me and led me to want to go and try to bring some comfort to the people who had lost so much.
I guess let me ask a difficult theological question, if I could. Is it hard for you in your mind to reconcile the idea of God as the Holy Comforter with the idea of a God being out there who lets something like this happen?
Oh, I had that question when my sister died. The first thing I wanted to know was how God could have let this happen, and where was God when it did happen? Where was he when Nancy was bleeding to death on a cold basement floor with her husband dead beside her? And I know the answer to that question now. God was right there with her, sheltering her and comforting her. The last thing that my sister did before she died was write a message of love in her own blood. She drew a heart shape in the letter U by her husband's body. Love you. And that's the message that she left for me and for my sons, and that's the message of the Sikh community. Their message is one of love. What really struck me about them, reading about them, was that their police chief, I think, in the town held a news conference and said that not one person had talked about vengeance or retribution. And he said, I want you to know how unusual that is.
Why was it so important for you to write about this?
I told the story to a friend of mine, someone I admire very much, and he said, you have to write this down. And he was kind enough to pass it on to one of the editors at Huffington Post, and they were kind enough to publish it. So I'm very grateful to him for suggesting it, because I've gotten such amazing responses to it from people.
Well, Jean Bishop, I thank you so much for sharing this story with us, and I wish you the best.
Oh, thank you.
Jean Bishop is a public defender in Cook County, Illinois, and adjunct faculty member at Northwestern University Law School, and an activist working against gun violence. There's a link to her column on her visit to the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin, which ran on the website Huffington Post, from WUWM.com/lakeeffect. You can also find links to WUWM's many stories and interviews about the shooting and its aftermath. We'll take a quick break now and be back with more of Lake Effect in a moment on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.